You Ought to Know with Toby Edmonds. She'll be calling in today, and we'll cover a whole variety of topics.
Good morning, Mike.
It's a little damp outside.
Yeah, you know, it's Alaska. What are you going to do?
Enjoy it, because it happened mostly overnight. It's supposed to stop by about 12:30, so it just keeps the dust down, keeps everything watered, and we're ready for another edition if you ought to know. Anything in particular you want to talk about? I have some interesting stuff too, but I want to make sure that we cover what you have.
Actually, my stuff ties into your stuff. It sprang from the conversation that we had over the weekend and with your experiences. So feel free to sally forth with your story.
Okay, so for those others that were not privy to the phone conversation I had with you, we went on down to the Kenai and had a great day fishing off of the beach in the Nilchik, came back, and happened to be driving a vehicle which has a key fob, locked the car with the key fob when we left, pushed the button to open, not a beep, not a light flashing, nothing happening. And so I said, okay. I had other people press the button, thinking maybe there's some magic in the way you press the button. And it did not happen. So we're sitting there. This happens to be a German vehicle. Happens to be a BMW. Very nicely built. All very, very tight seams all around, etc. And so then we happened to be camping. We were going to be spending one night, but we really needed to get into the vehicle. And I called you and said, Toby, any ideas? And we covered pretty much the same ground. Turns out that vehicle has one place to put a key in, and that's on the driver's side door handle. There's no key position at the rear. There's not one on the passenger side. And there we are. So you nicely had compassion, but you know, we didn't come up with a solution for getting in there. And so I then said, okay. We were there with my son and his wife, and we thought about various possibilities, including the dreaded break the window possibility. And at your suggestion, I checked to see how much it would cost for the different windows. But that's a messy approach.
It is very messy.
Okay, so here's the bottom line. We were able to get into the car without breaking anything.
Excellent.
The key works fine. We drove home, and I haven't locked the car since then. But so how do you think we did it? This is almost going back to click and clack. So if listeners want to send it, I'll share a little bit of that. But it was an amazing thing. Let me just say this. It took about 20 minutes, roughly, maybe 20 minutes is a good number, to get in and open it up and be ready to drive it away or use stuff in it or whatever else. So any thoughts about how that might have happened, Toby?
I'm guessing you Slim Jimmed it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Remember, this is a BMW. This is a pretty tight vehicle. Mm-hmm. Remember also, it's a BMW, which means that what would you have done? Because the only way any of those door handles and other buttons work is if the key is in the ignition. We discovered that, by the way. In other words, you can't pull the door handle open and the door pops open unless the key's in the ignition.
How did you do it?
Well, simple. We put the key in the ignition.
Fair enough.
Okay. Well, what we did do, there are a variety of auto towing services and so on. They're nationally known. People like AAA, and if you have USAA and or others, they're I finally said, okay, we gave up and admitted we needed help. So I called the service that we have, and they and talked to a very pleasant person who made sure that we were not in any danger or trouble, etc. So remember, we're down on the Kenai, Nanelchik, which is not a large community. It's a wonderful community, but it's not large, and it's maybe roughly halfway between Soldotna and Homer. What she said, and this is a lady out there in quite a far place from Alaska. I told her where we were. She said, "Oh, you're at that campground. Sure. Okay. Well, the technician will be there in an hour." And sure enough, exactly 1 hour later, the truck pulled up, and it was a tow truck driver. And my understanding is, if you're looking to find a way to have somebody enter a car without any damage to the car, by the way, no scratches, nothing of the sort, tow truck drivers may have had some experience, depending on how long they've been doing this. And the gentleman who arrived, he looked at it, and we explained the situation. He said, "No problem. I have not failed in 11 years of opening." Apparently, the other point, and speaking to listeners out there who may have had a similar experience, you feel bad about it. Maybe the key fob fails, or the keys are locked in, or one thing or another. You're with a lot of other people. There are a lot of people who have done that. I think particularly in vacation times when people are driving unfamiliar vehicles that are rented, et cetera, it can happen more often. So he reached into his truck and pulled out what looked like a gun case. And so I said, "Oh, okay, he's going to shoot the..." but he didn't. He didn't. he opened it up, and in it he had a marvelous collection of pieces of, you know, we think about using a Slim Jim or a wire or something that would make, you know, the connections happen, etc. But he had pieces there that were both flexible and stiff at the same time, and basically he also had blood pressure cuffs. So as you're aware of, you just, if you get just a little bit of an edge in and you can open it up, you can actually open up a portion of the top of a door enough, because even with an older vehicle such as ours, these are pretty tight. It was very difficult to get something in without damaging. But if you used a pump-up affair, you could get something in there, and then you could say, "All right, none of these window buttons work. The door handle doesn't work. What you really need to do is put the key in the lock and turn it." Well, in watching an artist at work, I watched him tape a key to the end of the wire and from the passenger side put the key in the lock, turn it, not so the engine was running, but just so that things would work. And then, using another device, simply with the proper hook, proper shape, and the proper experience, run the window down. And voila, it was done. No damage, no scratching, nothing of the sort. And there we were.
Wow, that actually is some pretty amazing talent. I wonder how he is at those claw machine games.
I don't know. All I can tell you is, if my recommendation, if you're finding yourself somewhere, first of all, think seriously about having one or another of the services, or you can call a call around. But the facility to be able to call a single number, no matter where you are, and have them identify someone who can come be there in a short time. This, by the way, was, you know, about 7 o'clock at night, and be able to handle this, be that quickly done. It was just, it was a fascinating I think that the important thing was being able to watch the problem solving, because there were a variety of techniques that could work to get you into a car without damaging it. And some vehicles are very well protected, and it's very difficult to operate. And in this case, we were able to make it happen properly. But without the tools and without the expertise at handling stuff, it would have been difficult. It's not something you could just easily do at home necessarily.
No, and I think that a lot of people, when they hear the term Slim Jimming or anything like that, they think of just somebody with a huge metal rod or whatever, shoving it in through the window and up to the windowsill, I mean the window seal, and down and how that's how they unlock the door. And as you discovered, there's a whole variety of it's called the lockout kit, and that the little blood pressure cuff thing that you saw, that is very neat, and it is very great for the vehicle, because what it does is it props the door away from the rest of the body of the vehicle, allowing you to use your various assortment of tools to get in there and press whatever it is that you need to press without running, you know, chunks of metal up and down the paint and scratching it, like you said.
Right.
It is very... Now, to have somebody use those pieces of metal to put the key in the ignition, now that is a...
He said... He prefaced the action by saying, "Okay, I'm going to do something that will be probably amazing to you," and then he proceeded to, remember, you're operating from a thin opening on the side of the passenger door to put the key into the lock, and then to turn it just to the on position. that's not well. I'd like to share also one last thing, and then we'll move on to your stuff. Is that there were other techniques? Being that we had a smartphone available, we were able to cruise a little bit on the internet during this time, waiting and all. And there were some interesting techniques using, for example, a couple of strings. So if your vehicle happens to have a push-button door lock on the side of the door there where you can pull it up, if it happens to have a bump on the top as opposed to being smooth, our vehicle, it goes down in there, and there's no way to grab it. But if you happen to have one of those push buttons that has a top that's got a little bit of an edge to it, you can actually use a string, two strings and two loops, and pull that up. And that was an amazing thing too. But I defer to people's interest. Go to the internet. You can take a look how to open a door. And this one guy had a 5-minute YouTube video that shows how to create the loops, the slip knots, two of them, and make that happen without using any, metal at all, just some string. So the stuff's out there, and I turn to you now.
Well, I was going to talk about, you know, what do you do when you find yourself locked out of your vehicle? And, you know, Mike, you were kind of in a unique situation in the fact that you kind of had some odds going against you. I mean, as you pointed out, you do have, you know, a lock cylinder on the driver's door handle that you could use. I mean, you had your key in your hand, but you couldn't, the remote fob was not working, and it was also the key blade itself was actually not working in the driver's door lock cylinder, correct?
Right, and if that had happened, we wouldn't have had this conversation. It would have been a simple matter, but yeah.
Yes, so I mean, what do you do? Say you're not quite, you know, in a position where you have your keys in your hand, say you accidentally locked them in your vehicle. And as you said, Mike, if you find yourself in that situation, trust me, you are not alone. This is a guilty confession. I was actually lucky enough to, a long time ago, we had our truck running, and we had put my nephew in there. And
he was little,
and then so we loaded my nephew up into the car, and then I turned around and grabbed my puppy, my brand new puppy, and stuck the puppy inside, and then I shut the door to go around to the front side of the vehicle. The puppy to get in on the driver's side, and the puppy very excitedly followed me from the back seat, you know, inside of the car, but climbed over the back seat into the front seat because that's where I was headed. And in his excitement for me to get into the vehicle with him, stepped up on the door trim panel right where the locking button was, and stepped right on the lock and locked me out of my own car.
Oh, that's wonder. That's. Okay, and so then?
So at that point in time, one of us had to stay with the car and the kid to make sure the kid was okay, while the other one drove home as fast as they possibly could to get the spare key to come back and unlock the door, and so we could get inside with my nephew and the puppy. Now, you know, we were lucky enough in the fact that where we had this unfortunate incident occur, we were like 5 minutes away from our house. So, I mean, we weren't talking about anything super strenuous as far as, you know, driving to get the key in a fairly efficient manner. You know, what do you do? Say you are in a situation where you lock your keys in the car and you're not super close to home. You can't go and get your spare key, or maybe you don't have a spare key. So what do you do? And like, you know, what you and I were talking about, it is kind of dependent upon the type of vehicle that you have. Now, you mentioned AAA, I believe, right, Mike?
Yes, right.
Yes, AAA is an invaluable service to have. And I don't think it's all that much per month to have that service. It's actually very, you know, it's cheap insurance, really. Because as you discovered, newer vehicles are getting harder and harder to break into. I mean, it's not quite as simple as, you know, a keyblade and you know, or maybe just pulling back a door seal that's, you know, kind of sloppily made, and you can, you know, use a coat hanger. I also did one time, this was my father's truck, and we were, and he'll probably be very upset with me for telling the story on air, but we did actually break into his Chevy truck one time. When we were up at Eureka with a radio antenna.
Okay.
We ended up unscrewing, he had locked himself out of the vehicle, and we ended up unscrewing his own radio antenna and weaving it through, because this is a Chevy truck, still a well-made vehicle, but not quite as tight as some other vehicles. So we were able to maneuver the radio antenna up through the glass, up through the window seal, and then back down, and use the radio antenna to press the locker, the lock and unlock button on the door handle. So, you know, there is a variety of techniques if you put your mind and matter to it, but lots of people do prefer not to damage their vehicle, because there were some scratches to the paint that truck sustained.
Sure.
But, you know, AAA is a really great service to have. They provide great lockout services. A lot of people also don't know that taxi drivers will lots of times carry around a lockout kit. Now, the trick to the lockout kits is there is some skill that's involved.
Oh yes.
So
I was very clear. It was clear. I mean, having watched once, I could say, well, if I had access to such a kit, It would still take more than 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and because it is extremely easy to damage a vehicle in the course of doing what that gentleman did, and to have him, because, I mean, I understand that the rods and the stuff that he uses is still stiff, but, I mean, that's still a fairly decent amount of distance to cover with a key sitting on the end of metal. Wobbling involved. You know?
Well, you're right, because you have to be able to have something that is both stiff and not stiff. So there were different components of the extension, and mm-hmm. and it was obviously well designed, well practiced, etc. Yes.
Right.
So
I've seen some taxi drivers who are very, very good at unlocking vehicles and some taxi drivers that aren't so hot at it. So once again, it comes down to the skill level and experience of the person doing the unlocking.
Right. So bottom line, to prevent, I guess what we are at a point now of saying, Toby, what are good practice preventions? As you think back over time or two when you were locked out, I think about it as well. I'm saying, okay, what do I do to prevent this from happening again? Any good practice ideas here?
Have a spare key.
Have a second key and have someone carry it, right? Okay, that's one.
Right. Have a spare key. I mean, you could always try the trick of carrying the key, in the magnetic
lockbox, right?
Lockbox, the ones that attach to, the frame rail. But the problem with that is a lot of newer vehicles have very expensive keys to replace.
Oh, yes.
Some of them do have an option to have a cheaper valet key. It's not going to have the fob on it. It's not going to be anything fancy, but you can get a valet key, in which it's not quite as expensive, but you still do have to go through the process of ordering the key, usually by VIN from the manufacturer, and then the vehicle will more than likely have to be coded to the vehicle, because most keys nowadays they do have a transponder chip in them.
Right.
They have to be coded to the vehicle, so the security system realizes that the key that's unlocking the door is supposed to be unlocking the door and starting the vehicle. There is that method. I, for one, though, do firmly believe that, because you can have all the spare keys you want, but who carries more than one key on them at a time? Very few people carry on, more than one key with a method on it at a time. And say, for example, you do have the type of vehicle that, you don't have the option of having a cheaper valet key, or as in your case, you had the key, but it still wasn't working in the lock cylinder on the door.
Right.
I'd say probably, in my opinion, the best, unless you want to sit there and practice with a lockout kit, around with you.
Is get that lock fixed so that it works with the key.
Well, yes, get that lock fixed so that it works with the key. That would definitely be a good idea. But I really firmly believe that carrying some sort of club membership like AAA, or even lots of times you can purchase the same type of protection with your insurance policy.
Right, right. Yeah, there are a variety of ways, but I think I'm with you on that it's nice to be able to call a single number which has connections to almost in any area. I know the Kenai is sometimes referred to as a wild place, and we were some miles from any larger community, but even there, it was a pretty quick response. It would have been, it's 24/7, and generally speaking, you can have somebody there to help with it.
Right, and if you had to pay out of pocket for that same service that you just received, that would have been easily a couple of $100s.
Right. Yeah.
So, because as you noted, it was off hours, it was over the weekends, and it was a distance that was not, it's not like you were in downtown Anchorage.
Right.
So, that same service that you received, if you had paid for it out of pocket, would have been a couple $100s. The other option that you have that you and I briefly talked about was, breaking a window. As you pointed out, it is a very messy option, but at the same point in time, I've had to do it before. I know lots of people that have had to do it before. The only thing I can tell you with that one is if it's a truck, do not break out the sliding glass of the rear of the vehicle. Lots of people think that that's a very cheap window to replace. That is not true. It's probably one of the most expensive pieces of glass on your truck. That is kind of a last resort option to break out a window. But absolutely, hands down, I think that the best type of insurance to carry is being a AAA club member or purchasing that same type of coverage through your insurance company, something, because, as you discovered, sometimes stuff just happens. and the stars don't line up right, or whatever you want to call it, just kind of everything's working against you. You know, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't have been in the position that you were in. You know, that key would have worked perfectly fine in the door lock cylinder. You would have been able to get in and start the vehicle in the way.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes luck is just not on your side. Through various circumstances, stuff happens.
And there you are. How to deal with it. But you're right. I think you've covered some of the good things about it. And probably checking to make sure, you know, having a second key, one that does work, if there are people going traveling in the vehicle, checking to make sure that if you have a key fob, that it does work in the cylinder, if the fob itself doesn't work. And one last thing is, what happens if the battery goes dead on the car?
Once again, that is really dependent. This one I'm kind of wary about giving out advice on the air on this one, just because it's getting increasingly more difficult to be able to jumpstart your own vehicle.
Right.
I'm sure lots of people have already discovered that their batteries are no longer located underneath the hood.
That's
the
right.
Used to be. You know, manufacturers are choosing to use that space for other stuff, more space for a larger engine, you know, what have you. So those batteries are being...
Yeah. So unless you're very familiar with the circumstances of your own vehicle, that's a topic probably for another time. We're pretty much out of time. In any case, last few comments before we finish up, Toby.
It is summertime, and the driving time is upon us. Motorcycles are out, bicyclists are out, pedestrians are out. I've definitely noticed that when the sun comes out, people start to get a little crazy with their driving. You know, people just be careful of what's around you. Make sure you're noticing kids at play and people on bicycles and the motorcycles out on the road. So always be careful and take your time going where you need to go. When in doubt, carry an extra key.
Or three. Okay.
As always, if you have questions, please come visit us at Edmunds Import Auto. We're across from the Alaska State Fairgrounds, and we're always there to answer questions and help you with all your automotive needs.
All right. Thank you, Toby Edmunds, for another edition of You Ought to Know. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Mike. Take care.
Bye.